deserves. And ladies, you are more than welcome to pray. Just keep it, you know, reasonable length so we give more people an opportunity to pray. So, and if you want to, you can. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The message for tonight is actually a question. And the question is, why should we love God? Why should we love God? And that's a legitimate question. Because there's a lot of people who do not love Him. There's a lot of people who are angry with Him. Who are mad at God. Because God has done something they don't think was the right thing for Him to do. Or that He had the right to do these things. Now, one thing here about this is that everyone who has ever been saved automatically loves God. You have no choice in the matter. Really. Because the Holy Spirit, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells your soul. And He brings fruit. And you know what the first part of that fruit is love. And it's not just love for your mate or your children or your neighbors. It is love. It's a kind of love that is universal. It's for everyone. But especially for God. Because of what He has done. We just don't realize how dead we were unless we can think back and remember the times that we were living without Jesus Christ. And how dead our soul was. And a dead soul can't accomplish anything. A dead soul cannot enjoy anything because it's dead. And that's what God said. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so our souls were dead. And then Jesus Christ came along and the Holy Spirit convicted us and we believed and the Holy Spirit indwelled us and we began to love. Before we get into to what parts all of you play in the ministry of this local assembly, I'd like to remind us of some various kinds of activities that the world calls love that has nothing to do with love. We want to make sure that we understand what genuine love is. The worldly kind of love would be called by God lust. That's the worldly kind of love, lust. That kind of activity would be all about self-satisfying relationships, and it would involve the kind of activity that satisfying biological desires and things that God has said there is only one way that these things are supposed to take place. Our society today would call the relationship love, where two people live together, they say they love each other, they have intimate relationship, but that is not real love. Real love does not create children out of wedlock without a mother and a father. Real love doesn't. So that's simply a form of worldly physical lust. So the kind of love that we want to look at and consider tonight would be the kind of love that God has placed within your heart when you were saved. And when you were saved, you experienced many varying emotions. There was a great joy, if you remember. There was a great joy. Suddenly, a burden was lifted. Something inside of us was just gone. Something that was like a boat anchor we were dragging around with us. Thing called sin. And guilt. And that was gone. And we had a fresh, new, vigorous love for everyone in our lives. And that was a new kind of love that we were experiencing for the first time. Genuine love requires some kind of expression. You can't just use words. They are not effective. They are not a proof of love. It requires you giving something to demonstrate your love for another person. And that's what God did for us. He gave us His Son to die for us. That was a proof of love. No higher proof could ever be done or ever offered. And so when you love God, you must offer Him something beyond, "I love you." Now, I can say, "I love you" to my wife. And she should know after 57 years that I do, except that's a lot, it means a lot more to her when I take out the garbage. That's proving I love her. And when I get up without being prodded with a cattle prod or her getting having to get her whip out, and I go over to the sink and wash dishes, that's love, honey. You see, we have to have some way to demonstrate our love. We have to have something that we can give as a demonstration and as a proof of our love. Now, there are ways we can show our love as a church, because we do all love each other. We do. We really, you folks don't know how much love I've got in my heart, and I can't help it. I love you. I would love to hug every one of you, except for this lousy coronavirus. You know, it has really, the devil is trying to separate us. And he's got a lot of help coming from different areas. But that's what his purpose is to separate us so that we cannot love each other. Folks, doesn't matter. I love you anyway, with or without a mask. And there's a good hug says, "I love you." And it does. And we all, I like hugs. I'm sure you like hugs. And so there are people who are shy because they've never been able to express their love. My family did not hug. They did not hug. Ever. And because they didn't know what genuine love was. They were not saved. I don't remember ever seeing my father hug my mother. Really. And so, folks, think of the privilege that God has given us to be here, to have a church family involving all of us. And we can show our love to each other in so many different ways. And that's one of the things we want to think about tonight. In John 4:15 through 19, it tells us, 1 John 4, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So there's evidence of love. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We know we have forgiveness because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. We know that was a gift to us from God because he loved us. And so because we have that evidence, we need not fear judgment, because our sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. And in verse 18 it says, "And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And so, folks, when you run across people that are afraid, when you run across people that have fear in their lives of any kind, Fear to associate with people, or fear to get out and get out into the world, and they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't have the perfect love that the Holy Spirit brings to their heart when they are saved. And that's an evidence of that. And we need to love them for Jesus. We need to try and encourage them to come and surrender their hearts and their lives and their soul to Him. So, in verse 19 it says, we love Him because He first loved us. And that's what makes us a church. That is what makes us a church. The bond of love we have for each other in here is what makes us a church and a church family. Now, when I see you coming to church for any kind of activity, I see the love of God in action. I see you coming in to do things here around the church. I see you coming in to help with this or that. And you know, when you started working on this blessing box and getting food ready for that, I'm seeing your love in action. I'm seeing proof of your love. When I see you doing things, I see you bringing gifts for each other and that type of thing. I see you working up and down the hallway, you know, making sure that everything is just right. I see your action. When you come to church, I see you coming because of love. And I hope that's why you all come. And so when I see the doors open and I see you coming, I like to just sit there and watch you come. That's a blessing to my heart to think, thank you, God, for all this love and putting all this love in one place. And so the question, why should we love God? Look at what He's doing for all of us. Look what He's doing for our church family. Look what He's doing for each of you. And how can you not love a God who loves you like that? So, I believe that you come because of love of God, seeking a way to express that love. And that's why we come. And so, now if we could just encourage some other folks to come with us, so that we could share that love and they could share in that love. And that's what we need to work on. We need to do that. So, you know, the problem for anyone who does not have that love for God is that their soul is still dead. And that's sad. And the love that God has given us for them should feel that sorrow and want to make sure that they don't spend eternity in hell or the lake of fire. So we all have some kind of love or emotion that we call love for something material about which we are passionate. It could be another human being, or in this particular case, God, who truly first loved us. The one thing about love is that love is consistent in one particular way. Love is always demonstrated through the act of giving. And folks, when you cook Thanksgiving dinner for someone else, for the group, you are showing your love. You may not think of it that way. You think, oh, here I got to toil over the stove and cook all these turnip greens and collards. And I hope not. But anyway, God has given us a great, great privilege to be able to love each other. And it is such a blessing to have that happen. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, He changed some of the ways that people had been doing things. First of all, He made love a requirement for successful living. If you want to live a successful life, you're going to have to live it in love. If you don't live it in love, you're not going to have the success that you would like to have or that you could have. If a person doesn't love, they're not being obedient to God's commandments. If a person does not love, they are not being obedient to God's commandments. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, during the Sermon on the Mount, we find it recorded in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. That's Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So God loves everybody, whether they are good or bad. And aren't you glad? Because there was a time when we were bad. And he loved us anyway. Jesus told us that the Bible tells us that God is love. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So there you have it. God is love. First, Jesus told us to love our neighbor. Now he tells us to love our enemies. You know what that means? That means that you got to love that guy who cuts you off in traffic. Man, I love the way he drives. He sure knows how to get into that tight spot. Yeah, I know I had to break my nose on the windshield stopping so he could get in there, but that's what Jesus told us. He said we need to love our enemies. We need to love those who despitefully use us. Those who do bad things to us. We need to love them. And so this life, this what we call Christian life, and this Christian life, we're looking at, you know, Christian worldview in the mornings, but this Christian life that we live is to be lived in love. And if it is not lived in love for other people, you're not living a Christian life. It's not all about us or you. It's about everybody around us. And that's who we are to love. God loves everybody. And we should love everybody. Now, I said that love is demonstrated by giving. We can show our love to a person by giving good biblical counsel. There are many things that you have to give that you don't realize. You are able, if you know anything about this book, you're able to sit down with someone and give them good biblical counsel. That's a gift. That's demonstrating your love. And you're giving. By so doing, you are loving God, because that when you do that to anyone else, you're doing it to him. Now, the question for tonight is, why should we love God? So let's look at some of the answers that I think we need to start with. The most important answer, we find it in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 12:29-31. Mark 12:29-31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We all know that. We've heard it many times. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We've got quite a job to do, folks. We've got a lot of potential all around us. You've got neighbors. You're supposed to love them. He said that right here in his word. Your neighbors. Even if they do throw trash over the fence. Or get out of their car and they drop their fast food stuff in your driveway. The cure for that is love. And love is giving. Here, you dropped this. I'm giving it back to you. No, that's not what he's got in mind. We have the greatest opportunity in the world because we have the greatest God in the world to show the world who God really is by loving. Loving the people around us. And Jesus gave these two commandments. First, we love God. Second, we love everybody else. Whether they're good neighbors, bad neighbors, we love them. And it's amazing what a little love will do. Connie and I like to sit on our patio outside our apartment in the nice weather. And there are two rocking chairs there. We each have our own rocking chair. And it's not because we're old. But we say something to everybody who goes by. And we don't know their names, a lot of them. But they have learned that we are being friendly, that we are interested in them. And if you will show an interest in anybody, you are loving them for Jesus. And they will sense that. You can tell when a dog doesn't like you, can't you? You know, when he smiles at you when you go in the yard and shows his teeth. Now, we had a dog that actually did smile. And it was sort of hard to tell when she was smiling and when she was growling because they both wound up with white teeth. But people know when you love them. And they're going to respond to that love in some way. And that's what God has put us here to do. That's what he's trying to teach us. That's why we meet on Sunday night. That's why we meet on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Is so that from this book, we can learn ways that we can love people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we should love God because it's commanded of us. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. And we should have a desire to give something back in the form of a tithe. We should want to give some sort of service to the Lord, and many of you do that. I see you expending your energy, doing things here around the church, helping stock the blessing box and helping maintain the building when something's wrong. And that is such a blessing for me to see you loving God and loving your church family. So why should we love God? Because he's wanting to bless us. And he wants to be the source of our blessing. God wants to bless you. He has a blessing for you. If you love him. If you are living where he can bless you. He can't bless you if you're living in sin. He can bless you if you're living in love for him and obedience to his commandments. He can bless you, and he will. Everybody sitting here tonight is blessed in some way. God has blessed us today. Many of us actually ate sometime during the day. Some of us ate more than once. And you know, some of us will probably eat again. Isn't that a blessing? And that's from God. He's made those things to grow. He's provided that food for all of us. And that's what it's all about. We need to remember God loves us so much, He is giving us everything that we have. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love God, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, God knows you by name. You know, a lot of times we'll ask a person, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I like to ask a different question. Does God know your name? Does God know your name? Or are you just somebody out there? And if you hear, if you get the answer, well, I don't know if he knows me. Then you know, oh, we got a candidate here. We got somebody we can share Jesus Christ with. We pull out a gospel tract and we can give it to him. Folks, you don't know how gospel tracts might influence people because they talk about the love of God for the individual. So, I can't speak for you, but I want God to know me so that he can meet the needs, my needs as they arise. Don't you want God to meet your needs as they arise? Don't you want God to know your name? Yeah, you do, of course. So we want to love him that he knows us. But there's more things that we need to be aware of about loving God. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. If I stop right there, do you know the rest of that verse? Because it is a promise to you of some very, very special things. To finish that verse, it says, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Folks, you can't even begin to imagine what God is waiting to give you in heaven when you get there. You can't even imagine it. He's so good to us here in this life. He meets our needs so well. If we love him and if we're doing what he wants us to do, just imagine what he's got for you in heaven that he can't give you here because you don't know how to operate it. God's waiting to give us something really special. And I want to be included in those things that God has prepared for all of those who love him. Don't you? Don't you want to be a part of that? I hope you do. When I see some of you come to church, I see you demonstrating your love for God, and that's exciting to my soul. 1 John 3:18 and 19. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure the hearts, our hearts before him. You folks are making this church family successful. Because you love. And you're letting God love you. You're doing what the Bible says to do. What a blessing. Not all churches are like that, folks. They're not. But we have something very special here. Because you love God and are not afraid to show it, God is sending some special blessings to the whole church family. The Bible tells us about some of them through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, 23 and 24, it says, peace be to the brethren, and love, faith, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God is giving us peace, he's giving us faith. Then verse 24 says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So God is giving each one of you his grace. Even if you lose your phone, Sandra, God's grace is still working. You're not getting those bill collectors' calls. Okay? No, I'm just kidding you. We experience God's grace every day. Every day. Throughout the day. We just have to recognize it. And it's because we love God. And those are the times we say, thank you, Father. And we love him a little bit more than we loved him a few minutes ago. And it just grows and it grows and it grows. There are literally hundreds of reasons that we should love God. Each of us have been the recipient of God's grace and his blessing throughout each year of our life. And some of us have lived a lot more years than others. But God has blessed us throughout every year as he has given to us more time to be with family and loved ones. And so if you think for a minute or two, you will know why we should love God. Now, I am going to end the message just a little bit early tonight so that we can spend some time praying. But I would like for us to think about Paul's benediction to the Ephesians when he said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That was his benediction to the Ephesian church. That's his benediction to every church who loves God and loves the Lord. So we're going to take some time tonight to pray. We're getting very close. We have one more Sunday between now and the election. And we need to pray very much for our nation, for our church, that God will keep us all healthy, that he will keep us all well, that he will keep us in the center of his love. And then we need to pray for a revival, because all of us, everyone in this auditorium tonight needs some revival in their hearts. You are not as close to God as you once were. The moment you got saved, you couldn't have been any closer to God. But ever since then, the world starts creeping into our lives. And so we need to remember that. And so we need to pray for revival in all of our hearts. And so I'm going to ask if maybe Bobby will start our prayer. And then Faye, would you follow him in prayer? And then you just pray as the Holy Spirit leads. And ladies, you're welcome to join us, okay? So Bobby, if you will open in prayer, I will close when it gets to be close to 7 o'clock.